In his new book, Our Necessary Shadow, Tom Burns looks to explain the full subject of psychiatry in a time when the entire practice has come under fire for a myriad of critiques, from its relationship with Big Pharma to overdiagnosing. Burns, a renowned expert in the field, acknowledges the problems in the field, yet reveals how it is truly a necessary shadow to the human condition. The title of his book is Our Necessary Shadow. Tom Burns is professor of social psychiatry at Oxford University, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, and greetings from a sunny Oxford.
Well, it is. It's always sunny in Oxford, from what I have viewed. I have to say that in reading this book, and I would like you to explain it as a jumping off point of that concept of our necessary shadow, because that is a very loaded term, isn't it?
It is. I mean, the reasons I chose the title were that I think that mental illnesses, and I'll use that term, I know it's a contested term, but mental illnesses are a reflection of what makes us uniquely human. I mean, it's only because we're human and we can inhabit other worlds and think about the future and think about the past that we have this capacity to suffer from mental illnesses. That is, I think, the necessary shadow, if you want, the necessary consequence of being truly human, that we are sort of prey to these problems of depression and anxiety because we can think, because we can imagine ourselves into the future and reflect on the past. So I think the point I was trying to get over was that mental illnesses, psychiatric problems, are not like many of the other sort of injuries and accidents that we see in the rest of medicine that just happen to us by pure chance. They're not like just falling downstairs and breaking a leg. They reflect what it is to be truly human, and therefore our attempts to help people with these problems require us to engage with the deepest and most profound aspects of human nature. So that's why I chose the title.
You make the point that much is written about psychiatry, but very little that describes psychiatry itself. And I'm curious as to why you think that is the case.
Well, I think you just got to go into any bookstore and go to the sort of well-being or psychology or mental health section, and you'll be sort of confronted by a whole range, dozens of books telling you, as you said in the introduction, about what psychiatry does wrong, Big Pharma, overdiagnosis, all of these things, which undoubtedly have a grain of truth in them, and lots of sort of critiques of psychiatry saying that we should use self-help, etc., etc. Lots of books like that, many of which, I have to say, I think often put up a very partial straw man vision of psychiatry, which, of course, is quite easy to knock down. I mean, you read books saying psychiatrists think that mental illnesses are just chemicals in the brain or are just genetic disorders. And, of course, psychiatrists don't believe that on the whole. We think these things are important, but there's much more to our job than that. And so it seemed to me that the critiques often give a very partial, very fragmented aspect of what we do. Now, why does it matter? Well, I think it matters because if you or I or one of your listeners has a friend or a family member who became ill, they'd want to give them the best advice and support they could. And if they draw their understanding of psychiatry and what psychiatry has and perhaps doesn't have to offer just from these very sort of one-sided, often over-dramatized critiques, then they're not going to be able to help as much as they would want to. So I wrote the book because I thought, I mean, there's lots wrong with psychiatry. I'm not pretending it's without blemishes at all. But it has a lot to offer people who are going through very tough times in their lives. And if we want to make a sensible, balanced judgment about whether we want to engage with it, then we need to get a sense of it in the round, not just a little bit here and a little bit there. So I'll give you a simple example. There's plenty of evidence and there's plenty of substance in the criticism that there's over-medication by antidepressants. There's no question that there are lots of people getting antidepressants who don't benefit from them and don't deserve them, and don't need them. But I've been in the business long enough to remember when lots of people struggled for months and sometimes even years with depression and never got treated. So if you've got a friend and you want to advise them, you need to weigh up those two possibilities. And it seemed to me that a rather sort of broad book that tried to take in all these aspects was the way to give people the information from which they could make their own judgments and draw their own conclusions, really.
And how much, when we talk about how we view psychiatry, is individual in the sense that there is a stigma attached to it often that prevents many people from seeking the help that they need?
Well, I think that certainly stigma is a crucial aspect of how psychiatry can be made to work effectively. One of the problems has been for a very long time that people sort of associate depression or anxiety with personal failing and often reluctant to seek the help that's out there. So I think that very often individuals need to be able to make their own decisions, but they can only make those decisions sensibly if they have enough information. And sadly, I don't think that many of our newspapers and media give the sort of level and breadth of information that one needs to make those decisions. Having said that, the one thing I can say from working as a psychiatrist now for 40 years is that the consistency of our treatments, the fact that you can be fairly sure what sort of treatment you'll get for whatever disorder you've got, that has improved enormously. So certainly when I started, psychiatrists were extraordinarily variable, were quite eccentric in what they did. I think that is in the past, that we've caught up with the rest of medicine in terms of having consistency and evidence-based practice and things like that. So I think the individual journey to seeing a psychiatrist is often extremely variable because people will make judgments about what sort of help they want, dependent on their personality and their personal experiences. But the psychiatry that they're likely to be exposed to is, thank heavens, increasingly predictable and consistent and safe on the whole.
Back to the title of the book, of Our Necessary Shadow, the flip side to that is just ignoring it. And we have so much data and so many examples of why that doesn't work, right?
In what way do you mean exactly?
Meaning ignoring mental illness, ignoring the need for psychiatry has not served us well either.
It certainly hasn't. I would agree with that entirely. I think that, I mean, that's what's also interesting. If you looked at all the books criticizing psychiatry, you would expect psychiatry to be dying out, but it's not. In fact, despite this sort of range of chorus of criticism, psychiatry in all the Western world is expanding. In fact, it's clearly finding that there is greater need and call for it now than people have acknowledged before. I'm not personally convinced that there's more mental illness or more psychiatric problems now than there was 30 years ago. What I think is happening is that people are still a bit anxious about approaching us. There still is real stigma. But on the whole, that's got less, and therefore more people who need treatment are getting it. So I think that the bad old days when people suffered in silence, and my job, you know, because I'm a professor of social psychiatry, I get to travel a bit, and there are certainly still parts of the world where people are so scared of psychiatry and so ashamed of mental illness that they just don't get treatment which would often quite dramatically improve their lives. I think in most Western countries, although it's an uneasy relationship, I think there's a recognition that treatments for psychiatric problems and mental illnesses, on the whole, bring most people considerable relief.
I do want to go back to the pharmaceutical industry for a moment, because it is something that is certainly criticized and that people are overdiagnosed. However, There has been great strides, and you point this out in the book, of what medicine can do for the mentally ill and how it can help in an overall program of psychiatry.
Yeah, I mean, medicines are important, but they're never the whole picture by a very long way. And the other thing that might be worth sort of pausing and thinking about is that the American perspective on this may be unusual, because I've just been over to New York to look at some of your services there. And one of the things that really struck me was not visiting the mental health services, but was watching the television in my hotel bedroom. That you have in America something that I don't think any other country has, which is direct advertising of medication to the population.
Right.
That's not allowed in most countries. So you would have adverts describing a condition and say, go to your doctor and ask for this, or discuss this with your doctor. So I think that over-medicalization, which is a problem with psychiatry worldwide, I wouldn't say it's not a problem elsewhere. I think it probably is more extreme for you in the US than for most places. And I think one does have to get a grip on it. And there is no doubt that the pharmaceutical industry has overplayed its hand, has oversold diagnoses. I'm sorry, oversold medication. There's a Freudian slip for you. Because I think actually what they've done in some cases, and I think the critics are right in this, is they've almost generated some diagnoses, you know, like things like social phobia and ADHD. I mean, to some extent, are driven by the pharmaceutical industry rather than by the psychiatric profession. And that doesn't excuse us. I think we should have been a lot more courageous and saying, look, you know, this is a bit artificial. This isn't really quite as it's being made out to be.
I do want to get back to the point, though, that there has been, it seems, great strides in what that medicine can accomplish for the mentally ill.
Well, without doubt. I mean, antidepressants. I mean, if you had a severe mental depression in the 1930s and you went into a mental hospital in Europe or in America, you ran a 15 to 20% chance of never coming out and dying. Now with antidepressants, that's almost unheard of. We almost never see that. People get better from depression. Not everybody gets better straight away, but nearly everybody makes a substantial recovery. And similarly, if you think about disorders like bipolar disorder or schizophrenia, the quality of life and the experience that people with these very severe illnesses have to look forward to nowadays is incomparable to what it was 40, 50 years ago. So I think medication has made enormous strides in the treatment of the mentally ill. But I think, like anything, when it's been very successful, there's been a tendency sometimes to overuse it. And I think we haven't quite always got that balance right, and we need to work with it. So my book is very, very honest about the mistakes we make, because I don't think you can describe psychiatry without acknowledging when it's got things wrong. It's got things wrong quite often. I'm not sure, to be honest, that its track record in getting things wrong is any worse than any other branch of medicine. But because psychiatry is about being a human being and the things that make us tick, the things that we all care about as people, then we are much more aware of what goes wrong in psychiatry than we are about what may go wrong in cardiology or surgery. Mm.
So as we wrap up our conversation, and you mentioned that balance of striking that balance, are you optimistic that we can strike that balance in psychiatry?
Yes, I am. I think one thing that I try and explain in the book is that psychiatry has an inner tension. It has to balance the psychological and sociological components of it, of its theory and its discipline, with the medical, and it's always got that tension. And as a result of that tension, it's swung a bit like a pendulum over the last 150 years. My own view is that we've gone through 30 years of probably, and it rather, the pendulum has swung a bit too much to the medical side. I think it's beginning to swing back to a rounder, more holistic understanding of the whole human being, with their life history as well as their symptoms. So I am optimistic that is moving in the near future in the right direction.
Tom Burns is the author of Our Necessary Shadow and professor of social psychiatry at Oxford University. The book is published by Pegasus. Tom Burns, thank you very much for joining us this morning. A great pleasure to have you on our program.
Thank you very much. Great pleasure for me, too.
Bye. Thank you very much. Again, the title of the book, Our Necessary Shadow, The Nature and Meaning of Psychiatry. It is published by Pegasus. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.